I want us to look at the names of Jesus today, because His name is a name above all names. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You'll have to admit that there's something special about this time of the year. There's a uniqueness about Christmas time. There's a different spirit in the air everywhere we go. Now, I didn't say it's all good, but it's different. However, for those of us who are Christians, it's not just a special time, but there's a special person that we recognize and we acknowledge, and we like to worship in a very special way at Christmas time. And that's Jesus. He is called the Son of God. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Chief Shepherd. And we can go on and on about this wonderful, wonderful person called Jesus. Various names are used in our Christmas greetings and on our Christmas cards about Jesus. But there are three main names that are used. Jesus, Messiah, and Emmanuel. I want us to look at those today. I think they're very expressive for us. First of all, Jesus. Jesus comes from the word Jehovah saves. Jesus is equal to Savior. The angel said to Mary, and here in over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And then the angel said to Joseph, here in our scripture for today, Matthew 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, he communicated to both Mary and to Joseph that there would be a son, and the name would be Jesus. No mistaking who his name was. Now, Jesus was really a common name in this day. In the Old Testament, it's Joshua. Jesus means Savior. And so the angels interprets his name, for he will save his people from their sin. He is to be the Savior. And so the angel interpreted to Mary and to Joseph. And then those angels that hovered over the little town of Bethlehem, sleepy little town, and the shepherds were in the field. Those shepherds heard from the angel, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, a Savior. You see, Jesus came to be a Savior. We relate to Jesus because He is the one we see on earth, living among us, like us, and yet without sin, and dying for us. He paid the price that we could not pay by going to the cross and becoming our Savior. There's a chorus that we sing, a little song we sing very often, called Majesty. And in there it says, so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Jesus. Say it with me. Jesus. Let's do it again. Jesus. Exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus, because He came to be our Savior. The next name is Messiah. The angel further stated to Mary that He will be great in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 32. He will be great, and He should be called the Son of the Highest. Now, this designation, Son of the Highest, is a designation for Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah. All the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah that would be their king and would somehow be able to lead them and to guide them. They'd been under persecution of the Roman government for so long. But not only them, but the prophets before them predicted there would be a Messiah. Messiah is the Old Testament equivalent of Christ in the New Testament. Both of these words mean anointed or the anointed one. Jesus was the anointed of God. Jesus came to the world to make known the Lord. You will recall Jesus at Jacob's well when He was ministering to a Samaritan woman. And in John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 25, that Samaritan woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ, and when He comes, He will tell us all things." All of them was looking for a Messiah. In the very next verse, verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He. I am the Messiah," Jesus says. Some thought John the Baptist was Christ, the Messiah. But in John 1, chapter 20, John says, "I am not the Christ." Jesus asked His disciples on one occasion, "What do you think about Christ?" That's a question that bears repeating today. What do you think about Christ? What's your estimate of Him? And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 29, He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" What do you think of Christ? But who do you say I am? And Peter seemingly always answered. And Peter answered and said to Him, "You are the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah." Now, even the demons know Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. Even the devils. In Luke chapter 4, we have Jesus in His earthly ministry healing Peter's wife's mother. And then right after that, at sundown, people began to come from all over the village, and He healed every one of them, the Bible says. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 41, while He was healing and casting the demons out of them, the Bible says, "And the demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.'" Even the demons, the devils, know that Jesus is really God's Son. Our world today smears Him, ignores Him, but not the devils. We need the boldness of Peter to say, "Thou art the Christ. You're the anointed one and the appointed one from God the Father to come to earth and die for our sins." That name is above all names. Jesus' name is above all names. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And you'll notice the designation here, Philippians chapter 2. And verse, let me read beginning at verse 9. "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is to be recognized as the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah, the Emmanuel. Every name is going to confess Him one day, everybody, every person, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, everybody will confess, every tongue will confess that He's Lord. I'm rather grateful that we have the opportunity of doing that right now. The third name is Emmanuel. The angel gives a further interpretation of Jesus here in verse 23 of our text, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall call his name. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, the angel did not want his name misinterpreted. We have Jesus, Messiah, Emmanuel, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The angels were saying that down through the ages, men shall tell of his incarnation and his glorious work. They'll call him Emmanuel. So here we are today, singing, testifying, and rejoicing in that name, Emmanuel, God with us. Incarnation, that is Jesus when he became flesh, it really means the union of divine and human. It means that God became flesh in Jesus Christ. In fact, if you study the Gospel of John, you'll find in John 1, verse 1, where in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then you drop down to verse 14, and it tells us the Word became flesh. He was born. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, when you read that, it really says God pitched His tent right in our midst to live with us. Emmanuel is a prophetic name. You may wonder why we never actually call Jesus Emmanuel. We call Him the Christ, we call Him Lord, we call Him Jesus. But we really don't call Him Emmanuel unless we're referring to the fact that He came as the expression of God. According to the Hebrew usage of the word Emmanuel, it represents a characterization. It is God in flesh, God on earth, God among us. That's really what it means. Therefore, the Lord Himself, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. It's a characterization of God in flesh, God with us. It's the incarnation. It's Jesus leaving heaven's glory and coming down to take on the form of a man. Emmanuel portrays the fact that God is with us in Jesus. And in Jesus, God is no longer a distant being seated on some throne way up there in heaven. But he's here for us to see and understand and to know. You know, it's rather difficult for us to comprehend God. He is the infinite one who inhabits eternity. He is from eternity to eternity, and man often disgrace God and blaspheme Him by calling Him man. You know, just a mere man. The old man upstairs, you know, somebody up there. But He's from eternity to eternity. He spoke the world into existence. He holds the stars in His hand. He is so vast, so immeasurable until we have a difficult time understanding God. But Jesus came to earth that we might understand the heart of God. He loves us. How can we lay hold of anything so great, so wonderful, so holy, so majestic? How can we do it? In Jesus Christ, we can see and understand God loves us. And who God is. In Jesus, God looks at us with human eyes. He speaks to us with an earthly tongue. He touches us with a brother's hand. Through Jesus, we can come to know God for ourselves. Charles Spurgeon, that preacher of a century ago in London, England, preached to thousands of people, and had a great church, Spurgeon's Tabernacle. But in reading his sermons, he said this, Emmanuel, God with us. My soul, ring those words again. God with us. It's one of the bells of heaven. Let us strike it again and again and again. God with us. Now this Emmanuel reveals the Father to us. Jesus gave us the world's most significant idea of God. In this world where so many have groped after God and still are, guessed after God, still are, Jesus came to reveal to us the Father. And he says to us in John 14:9, He that has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, our Bible says, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. Then go with me to Hebrews chapter 1 and look with me at the first three verses of Hebrews. Here's what it says. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the glory of God, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What a Savior. What a gift. If we wish to think of God, we can think of nothing so true, so satisfactory, so adequate as Jesus, for God is like Jesus. Emmanuel came to give us a revelation of God the Father. Jesus established new standards and estimations about mankind's worth and possibilities. Man just doesn't live and die. Life is cheap and meaningless if there's no God. But Jesus came and presented the fact that we could be children of God. Hallelujah. That we could have eternal life. And wherever the gospel has been preached, people have begun to claim to be children of God. Jesus tells us that as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become children of God. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says, And if children, then heirs of God, and glory be to God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Indeed, if we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together with him, the Bible says. That inestimable worth is reckoned like this in 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Men never talk like this, except where Jesus influenced their life. Jesus heightens man's estimate of his own worth. You're valuable to God. So valuable until he wanted to redeem you. And he sent his only begotten Son. See, this Emmanuel, Jesus gave man the possibility of spiritual rebirth and moral reclamation. Jesus shows God is to be a specialist in in converting, changing people. So he's a specialist in the rebirth and the remaking of waste products of humanity. People like us, prodigals and prostitutes and outcasts and publicans, sinners like you and me, Jesus came to rescue us and to save us and to give us eternal life. That's why he came to earth. This Emmanuel, God with us. You see, Jesus valued and does value men and women, not on the basis of what they possess, not primarily for what they've done or accomplished, not even for who they were, but most of all, for what he can make out of you if you give your life to him. This God with us made it possible for us to become new creations in Christ Jesus. What is your estimate of yourself? Reassess it today in the light of what Jesus can do for you. Now we have three names: Jesus, Savior, Messiah, the anointed, the appointed of God to be our Lord, our Savior, and then Emmanuel, God with us. The verse we started with this morning: for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. Salvation is available for every one of us if we will just come to Jesus, receive him as our Lord and as our Savior. What a Christmas it is for us to celebrate the fact that we have a name that's above every name in Jesus. And he's our Savior. He's the appointed of God. And he lives among us, making known the mind of God, the attributes of God. And he wants to live in your life and in my life. I trust today that you'll open your heart to this Jesus, this Lord, this Messiah, this Emmanuel. And you know what it is to enjoy him day after day, every day, as the living Lord Jesus Christ. And you can count yourself as you trust him and receive him as one of God's children. And that's the greatest badge of honor that any man on earth can have, is to be called a child of God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are grateful this morning for the wonderfulness of your love and grace to us. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here who has never trusted this Savior, this Jesus, this Messiah, this Emmanuel, I pray that today they have a fresh perspective of who he is and they'll surrender their life totally and unreservedly to him. Father, thank you for saving those of us that are saved. Save others today here in this place. And let us rejoice in their newfound faith in Christ as they make it public. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.